Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, June 10th, a time when I usually try to do one take, but it is really noisy around the office this week with a vacation Bible school going on. What a wonderful thing to have noise in our building. And also, I'm a little froggy, so I may need to take a few stops to drink some water with my summer cold. It gives me a little bit deeper voice though. What do you think? We're going to be in Genesis chapter 40 today. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 and verses 20 through 23. This is the story about the cupbearer and the baker. Starting in verse 1, sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." Now we're going to skip over this next part, but this is where the cupbearer and the baker tell Joseph what they had dreamed. And if you remember, the cupbearer's dream was a good dream that predicted he would be reinstated into the king's service. But the baker's dream foreshadowed his execution. Now Joseph told the cupbearer, "When you are reinstated, remember me." Starting in verse 20. Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all the officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hands. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Well, this is an ominous way to end the passage for today, with Joseph being forgotten. I don't know how long Joseph was in prison, but 2 days is one too long. Well, one is one too long. But Joseph had to feel forgotten, not just by the cupbearer, but also by the Lord in some way. This apparent forsakenness is something I think about with Jesus on the cross when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then this is a reference to Psalm 22 that really is a psalm about not being forsaken. In the end, how the Lord comes and how the psalmist is able to praise the Lord in the sanctuary because he is not forsaken. He is remembered. And so I think here Joseph may be feeling a little bit of apparent forsakenness. But you and I, who have read the rest of the story, we know what happens. This is a slow movement of the Lord in the story. Oftentimes we have to wait on the Lord and His work, and that is difficult. And so today I want to encourage you that if you are in the waiting, that you would be mindful of the fact that God is present with you. And like Joseph, I encourage you to keep saying the things that you know to be true about God. I love how when Joseph was asked to interpret a dream, he would not take the credit. He said, God is the one who interprets the dreams. And so today, Lord, would you encourage my friends who are waiting, and would you make them mindful of who you are and your trustworthiness. We're ending the Psalms today, y'all. Psalm 150, it says, praise the Lord in some form or fashion at least 11 times. Do you get the point? We're beginning and ending the Psalm and the Psalter with praise. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His holy temple. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His powerful acts. Praise Him because He is greater than anything else. Praise Him by blowing trumpets. Praise Him with harps and lyres. Praise Him with tambourines and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Praise Him with clanging cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, so there was actually 13 times that we're reminded to praise the Lord. As you were listening, what were you thinking about? Were you able to focus in? I was thinking, what in the world is a lyre? And what would it be like in our worship service if we praised the Lord with a clashing cymbal? That'd be pretty cool. Maybe that's what we do in contemporary worship sometimes with the drum kit. Blowing a trumpet to praise the Lord. All these musical instruments used to praise the Lord. Why? Because He is seated. He reigns in His holy temple. Why? Because He is mighty and is seated in the heavens that He created. Why? Because He is powerful, according to verse 2. Praise Him for His powerful acts, because He is greater than anything else. Take a moment now just to praise the Lord, to turn your thoughts and attentions to His mighty and powerful nature. Lord, we do praise You today. We thank You for Vacation Bible School, and we thank You for who You are. As we wait on You today, would You make us mindful of Your character? And may we, while we have breath in our lungs, continue to praise You as Lord. I hope you have a great day and you enjoy a little snippet from Vacation Bible School. Amen.
Very good. Okay, so...